I'm Paul Wiegraf, director of the Delaware Division of the Arts, and your host for today. Joining me in the studio today is the president of the Delaware Photographic Society, Fred Cullis. Welcome, Fred.
Thank you very much. Great to be here.
So glad to have you here. I was doing a little research before we came into the studio, and I'm impressed with the history of the Delaware Photographic Society. It goes back, I think this is your 86th year now for your upcoming exhibition. So quite an illustrious history. Let's start at the beginning for our listeners. Tell us a little bit about how you got started. What was the impetus?
Well, it's interesting. Actually, the year of the first event that we now call the Wilmington International Exhibition of Photography was during FDR's first term, as a matter of fact. It goes back that far. There were people like N.C. Wyeth who were directors of that original exhibition, and it was a small group of photographers who were very interested in the art who wanted to show the rest of the world what they were doing.
And was that first exhibition an international exhibition?
I believe it was. There were some international, certainly from Canada, some exhibitions, mm-hmm. some entries, and it obviously has grown since then by leaps and bounds.
Right. And I noticed you mentioned N.C. Wyeth, one of the initial directors. One of the jurors in the first exhibition was Frank Schoonover. So some very famous artists and photographers involved from the very beginning. Now, how has the organization grown over time? And, I mean, just the art of photography, I mean, has evolved so, tremendously. I mean, today everybody with a phone in their pocket has a camera.
That's exactly right. And as a matter of fact, there are more photos taken with an iPhone than any other camera in the world.
Oh,
that's
interesting.
That's an interesting tidbit. But as far as what we do, we actually have some entrance to our competitions and contests that were taken with an iPhone. It's actually a very good way to do that. But typically, enthusiasts buy some other equipment, and it gives you more control over what you can do in terms of what's in focus, what's not in focus, how fast the action has been stopped. Sometimes it's good to stop the action quickly. Sometimes it's better to have some blur. So the equipment we buy gives us that type of control. And obviously, we've gone through the technological changes of photography from wet photography. My father was a professional photographer. I remember being a little kid and watching white pieces of paper turn into images of pretty girls in white dresses holding flowers at a party, mm-hmm. wedding photography.
Right,
so
sure.
I got
sure.
to watch that develop. And now there's hardly any wet photography. That's becoming a lost art because people sit in front of a computer with a file that's been generated by a very sophisticated camera, and you are able to adjust that, manipulate it, crop pictures, make them smaller or bigger, and do some really amazing things. And mm-hmm. and the club has embraced all of those technologies over time as they came out. And we're there's a slightly newer generation of cameras now that are one advancement, and people are starting to buy those what we call mirrorless cameras. So. Mm-hmm. As photography develops, so has the club.
Mm-hmm. Now, I confess, I don't know a whole lot about photography. I take pictures with my phone. I would not consider them art. They document more than they are art. But I'm thinking, in terms of the artistic aspects of photography, you mentioned wet photography. Did the photographer with the traditional camera, was there a difference in how you took pictures with the traditional camera because the exposure was, so much more had to be done with the camera and you had less opportunity after taking the picture to treat what it was that you had done.
And that's very true.
Does that make sense?
Yeah. One of the digital advancements is that you can make improvements. For instance,
I mean, you can adjust light, exposure,
right,
all that kind of stuff.
If the exposure was too dark when you're using film, there's not a lot you can do. Either the print or the slide comes back, and that's the way it's exposed.
Mm-hmm.
With digital programs like Lightroom, which is really tailored to photographers, and what's more widely known as Photoshop, you can make adjustments to the exposure. You can eliminate the background. I've had situations where there's a street sign in the way, and you can actually take that out. So that there is a lot more flexibility with the modern technology than there used to be. But the old principles of composition, the old guidelines that you try to stick to unless there's a good reason to break them, those really go back to art. That predates photography. So, mm-hmm. You know, the rule of thirds and things like that were being used by artists before anybody ever envisioned being able to capture a light in a box.
Now, before we go into the upcoming Wilmington International Exhibition of Photography, let's talk about the Delaware Photographic Society a little bit. I know you meet regularly, and I'm wondering, in your regular convenings, do you deal with these kinds of topics? You know, how do we make better pictures? How do we, you know, that kind of thing?
We do. We actually meet weekly, Monday nights at Cokesbury Village in Hocessin. We have one meeting a month is what we call a projected image competition, where images are captured and just projected on the wall. There's no print. It's mm-hmm. just a file. Mm-hmm. Then the next week is a print competition where people actually print photos, and you can do that's a whole new art, or a whole different art rather. And we have a competition for that. We usually have an education night, one night a month, where we'll pick a topic and highlight that. Things like people have come in and talked to us about copyrights and how to protect photos. Mm-hmm. Another night we talked about storage now digitally. That's an issue because these files are bigger and bigger.
Sure.
And you don't want to lose your files. So backup and storage was a big topic. And that was a particularly good night because we had somebody who was going to be the speaker, but there was actually more interaction in the crowd with people that had ideas and were able to share ideas. And that was a very interactive meeting. That's one of the beauties of getting together with other people who I always like to say, know that an F-stop is not something between an E-stop and a G-stop.
Uh-huh.
I mean, it's nice to have other people who are very involved in it to be able to learn from. And you can go up the learning curve of photography very quickly. We also have, as part of the organization, we teach a beginner's photography class in the fall that's usually sold out. I mean, and when I say sold out, it's just booked out because it's a free class that mm-hmm. we teach. So people with what we call a digital single-lens reflex camera, a camera that you can interchange lenses with, can come to that class and get from what does this button do to knowing exactly how to use their camera to make some decent images. So we have outside speakers from time to time who are experts in the world of photography. So it's actually very dynamic, lots of different things.
Now, is yours a membership organization? And if so, how large is the membership?
It is. We claim a membership of about 250 on the books, and we have 60, 70, 80 people a night that come, depending on what's going on for the meeting.
And are you open for new members at any time?
Always open for new members. I will give a shameless plug. It's about $45 a year to join, mm-hmm. which is a bargain. We meet from September through May, and then June, July, and August are summer months where we hope people are out taking pictures, and then we can look at them when we're meeting again in September.
And you have a website for the Photographic Society,
absolutely,
correct?
Absolutely. It's www.DelawarePhotographicSociety.org. Everything's spelled out. So as a matter of fact, if you Google Delaware and get to about P-H-O-T, it jumps mm-hmm. up, so mm-hmm. it's not a problem.
Now, what's the range? I'm curious, what's the range of your membership? I mean, I'm maybe showing my ignorance here, but I'm assuming I'm wondering, is this an art form or a hobby that people pick up later in life as they find more disposable time, or do you have a range of ages?
We cover all ages. I mean, we have a number of members who are retired and mm-hmm. now have the time to do it, but not exclusively. Mm-hmm. We have, as I say, a wide range of ages, and we have a wide range of experience levels, mm-hmm. which makes it a challenge in terms of setting a program because you worry about being over the heads of some of the beginners, but boring some of the experts as the program changes.
Sure.
So that's
sure.
something we have to keep an eye on. But a wide variety of experience, and that's one of the good things. We have some photographers who I think absolutely rival National Geographic photographers. Mm. We have some great wildlife photographers and some great photojournalistic photographers in the club that are just a great resource for somebody who's trying to get started.
Mm-hmm. With a long history, as we mentioned earlier, and I off air, I think you mentioned something about being a charter member of some organization.
Well, the Photographic Society of America is the American organization for photography, and we are a charter member of that. We helped get that started when they got started. So, we've been around for a very long time.
That's great. Well, I want to go down the path now of the upcoming exhibition, but let me first remind our listeners that you are tuned into Delaware State of the Arts here on News Radio 1450 and 1410 WI. Let me start that one again. News Radio 1450 WILM and 1410 WDOV. Sorry for the stumbling. Our guest in the studio today is the president of the Delaware Photographic Society, Fred Cullis. Fred, we've been talking about the Delaware Photographic Society. Let's turn to the upcoming Wilmington International Exhibition of Photography. Now this year, I believe in its 86th year, and I'm looking at the history. The first year, 1934, you had 182 prints that were entered from a variety of locations. How has that grown, and what does this year's exhibition look like?
Okay, from that 180-some prints, we this year had 2,931 images from 339 photographers from 36 countries.
Wow.
So, and that's actually down slightly. One of the things that's happening in this corner of the world is that there are more and more exhibitions, and photographers have more and more choices of where to enter their photos. Mm-hmm. So that happens a little bit, but we are one of the true exhibitions. There are many other competitions where photos are judged, but they're not shown. We should talk about the exhibition itself. We actually frame and hang what we consider to be it's hard to say winning photos, but what we call accepted photos. Mm-hmm. It's the photos that score in the top 25 or 30% of what's entered. And this year, I think the acceptances were the top 28%. Mm. So we actually, as I say, frame them. We hang them in Arsht Hall over at the University of Delaware Academy for Lifelong Learning. Mm-hmm. And they go on the wall, and you get to walk around and see some unbelievable photography. That's for the printed entries.
Now, are those printed entries, do they send the print to you, or do they send the digital and you print it out?
The art of printing is something that nobody would ever allow somebody else to do.
That's what I figured.
We get prints sent to us.
Okay.
But
then you do the matting or the framing.
We do the framing. Many of them are mounted so that they're on something hard, but we put them on a frame so you can see them on the wall.
Right.
That's half of the entries, or probably 60% or 40% of the entries are prints. Mm-hmm. 60%, it's much easier for somebody from Indonesia to send a file over the internet and enter that way. So we get many of what we call projected image.
Got it. Okay.
Photos, and what we do with those is the accepted images, the top 25 or 30%, actually get used to build a photo show that's set to music. And when people come to the exhibition at Arsht Hall on two Sundays that we have it, they can sit down and watch about a 50-minute presentation of projected images set to music. And it's just some of the most stunning photography I think you'll see. It's one of the fun things I have is to sit by the exit door and listen to people as they leave, mm-hmm, comment mm-hmm. on how great the photographs were. And we also sell the projected image show on a DVD.
Okay.
And you'll see a beeline of people who head to the desk to pick up a DVD because they enjoyed the show so much. Mm-hmm. So
is that like a looping of the photos that over about a 50-minute period?
It's actually, we do it on the hour. So
on the hour,
four
okay.
shows, and there's quite a capacity in the projection room there so that people can come in and we introduce it and show it, and then people leave and then get ready for the next showing. So mm-hmm. there's three or four every Sunday.
Mm-hmm. I'm curious, what is the process for selecting? I mean, how many entries do you get in, and what does that get whittled down to?
Well, there were let's see, 2,931 images. I think the total accepted were probably 824.
Okay.
So that's about a quarter of what was entered, or just a little bit more than a quarter. We actually arranged for international judges to come do the judging. We've had somebody this time from Indonesia, and we've had people come from Saudi Arabia to judge, and from all corners of the world, and of course some from the United States. But they actually sit on one Saturday. We have three different judgings to cover the three different categories of entries, but in one day we go through all almost 3,000 prints and assign a score to each one, and then it's a matter of computer sorting through and picking the top 25 or 30%.
Now, where was I going? With the judging, and the three categories you mentioned, they are.
Well, there's more than three. There's large color print, there's small color print. Mm-hmm. There's a whole separate category for what we call photojournalism. Mm-hmm. And the difference with photojournalism is you are not allowed to, for instance, remove a stop sign that doesn't add to the photo.
Oh, interesting.
You're not allowed to do anything except to crop.
Okay.
And adjust levels and make technical adjustments, but certainly
you can't change
nothing
what,
that changes the reality of what was taken.
Okay.
Right.
So interesting.
So that's a category, and then there's the difference between print and projected image. There's a separate set of judges for each one of those. So basically, you have prints, you have projected image, and photojournalism, people who are in the business of photojournalism, photo editors and that type of thing to help us with judging that.
Okay. So once the print photos are selected and the digital photos are selected, how do you and the print photos are framed, then how do you go about determining the positioning of the print photos in your exhibition and the sequence of photos in the digital?
Well, there are people who are pretty artistic and they know how to put these things together to give a good variety, so it's not all the same thing in a row. And,
right.
And that's a designer type talent that a number of our senior members have, and we let them do it because they're very good at it. Mm-hmm. As far as the composition of the projected image show, that's done by a few individuals over many hours sitting at the computer, and again they try to match the music to what's being shown, and that's a very artistic and time intensive process, but they do a great job.
Now, drawing these your entries from such from globally, really, how do you get the word out about the exhibition? I mean, that must be just an incredible task.
Well, actually, we have a reputation, so that helps. I mean, people look forward to entering year after year, and the Photographic Society of America is very good about listing all the different contests that come up. And there are people who enjoy submitting their photographs to be judged and reviewed around the world, and they do. They look for things like this, and they enter. So it's again in the photographer's world, people who are enthusiasts, there is certainly a group of people who enjoy doing that.
Now, what kind of a draw do you get to this exhibition each year? Where do the people come from? Do you get some of these photographers coming in to see their work?
Well, again, from around the world, that's a little tough. But certainly the local people, the people who have we've had people from Baltimore and New Jersey and halfway across Pennsylvania come to the exhibition. So, and we get thousands in to see the exhibition too. Not sure we take an actual firm count, but it's well attended.
Good. Well, let's go over the details of the exhibition, when it's happening, where, because I know there are a couple days that I believe the print photos are open to see, but not the digital. So let's go over the details.
Right. During the week, Saturday Arst Hall is closed, but during the week you can visit and view the photographs. Our first exhibition is March 31st. That's a Sunday from 12 to 5. The photos go up actually Friday night, but Arch Hall is closed Saturday.
Mm-hmm.
So the first time you get to see him is to come in on Sunday. You can see the prints hung around all of Arch Hall, and then it's a great way to wait for your turn for the for the projected image show is to view the prints.
Yeah.
The week in between, the photos are up on the wall, and you can come watch or you can come view the prints. But the projected image show is only on the Sunday, so it's the 31st, the week in between, except for Saturday, and then the 7th again is the last day of the exhibition. And then it comes to, well, it's actually going to be up for a small period of time after that, but I would count on being there sometime between the 31st and the 7th.
Mm-hmm. And did I read somewhere that some of the prints are actually available for sale, or prints of the photos in the exhibition?
We do sell some of the prints. This particular year, the prints that are on the wall are not going to be for sale because they're going to stay up because I think the students are coming back. We actually caught a period of time when things are on break and they asked if we could leave the prints up so that people, when they come back, would be able to take a look. So, but we do have other prints that will be for sale. We have a number of prints, for instance, from last year that are still available. So there will be prints for sale at the exhibition.
Well, our guest today has been Fred Collis, the president of the Delaware Photographic Society. Fred, I just find this just great work that you're doing with an art form that really has grown so much over the last century with technology and the capabilities, and so many people now are getting into this art form. I invite our listeners to check out the Delaware Photographic Society at DelawarePhotographicSociety.org and the upcoming Wilmington International Exhibition of Photography. That website is WilmingtonInternational.org. Again, thanks so much, Fred.
Thank you.